Ready to crush that exam on word sense discovery? We're going to do a deep dive into how computers learn all the different meanings of words.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible what we humans do without even thinking about
I
it.
know, right? And you know that Pantel and Lin paper, they pointed out that even those huge dictionaries like WordNet
Oh, yeah.
miss some common meanings, especially in specialized fields.
Like what?
Well, they gave the example of dialogue. WordNet missed its meaning in software.
Oh, right, like all those little pop-up boxes.
Exactly. So how do we even begin to teach computers about all these word senses? The paper talked about the distributional hypothesis,
Ooh, that's a good one.
which basically says that words with similar meanings show up in similar sentences.
Right, so if you see wine surrounded by words like bottle, vineyard, and taste.
Ah, you know, it's probably the drinkable kind, not like some
Exactly.
other meaning of wine.
So we can use algorithms to make these lists of similar words, right?
Yeah, the paper showed how a list for wine was spot on, but the list for suit kind of mixed up the clothing meaning with the legal meaning.
But those lists don't actually separate the meanings, do they?
No, not really.
That's where clustering algorithms like CBC come in. They try to group words together based on their meanings.
So ideally, CBC would make one group of words for clothing and another for legal stuff when it looks at the word suit.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm hooked. Tell me more. The paper breaks down CBC into three phases.
Okay.
Can you walk us through them?
Sure. Phase I is all about making things efficient.
Okay.
Instead of comparing every single pair of words, which would take forever,
Huh?
it uses a cool indexing trick to quickly find words that have a specific feature in common.
That's clever. So it finds those connections without getting bogged down in a
Exactly.
ton of calculations.
Then in phase two, CBC looks for tight clusters of words
Okay.
that are spread out in the similarity space. They call these clusters committees.
So basically, the tighter the group of words,
Yeah.
the more likely they are to represent one specific meaning.
Right, but there's more to it than that.
Oh.
CBC also makes sure that each new committee is different enough from the ones that already exist.
Makes sense. No need for redundant clusters.
Right.
So phase two is like quality control for word senses.
I like that, yeah.
Okay, what about phase three?
That's where each word gets assigned to the cluster it's most similar to.
Makes sense.
But then CBC does something interesting. It removes any features that are shared between the word and the cluster it just got assigned to.
Wait, why would it do that?
That's how it finds those less common word senses.
Oh, I see.
Remember plant.
Yeah.
In the newspaper corpus, they used the factory meaning was way more common, which made it hard to find the living thing meaning. But by removing the factory features after assigning plant to the factory cluster.
CBC could uncover that other meaning more easily.
Yeah.
That's really neat. Now, both other sources we're looking at today mentioned another algorithm called UNEPON.
Oh, yeah.
How does CBC compare to that one?
Well, Unicon also uses those small, tight clusters, but Unicon doesn't actually stop committees with similar meanings from merging together.
So you might miss those subtle differences.
Exactly.
But CBC only accepts a committee if its meaning is really distinct from existing ones.
Right. So think of plant again.
Okay.
Unicon has lumped the factory and the living thing meanings together, but CBC, because it removes those dominant factory features, would likely keep those meanings separate.
Got it. I see how CBC's approach can give us a more nuanced understanding of word senses.
Yeah.
But how do we actually know if a computer is getting those senses right? We can't just ask it, hey, what does this word mean?
That's a great question. The Pantel and Lin paper talks about how they measured CBC's accuracy.
Okay.
They used something called WordNet as a benchmark.
So they compared CBC's clusters to the meanings in WordNet to see if they matched up.
Exactly.
Killer.
But measuring recall, which basically means how many of the actual word senses an algorithm can find, that's a little trickier.
Yeah, we can't possibly know every meaning of a word that's out there.
Right, so they used a clever trick. They
Oh.
combined the results from multiple algorithms to get a larger set of potential word senses, and then they compared against that.
I see. So it's more like a relative comparison. How well does CBC do compared to these other algorithms?
Yeah.
How do they combine the precision and recall into one score?
They use something called the F measure, which balances both precision and recall.
Okay.
So if either one is low, the F measure takes a hit.
So it gives you a good overall picture of how well the algorithm's doing.
Exactly.
What were the results? How did CBC do?
CBC did really well. It beat all the other algorithms, getting an F measure of 55.4%.
Wow.
The precision was 60.8%, meaning that over 60% of the clusters matched up with real word senses from WordNet.
And what about recall?
That was 50.8%, which shows it was able to find a good chunk of the target word senses.
Those are really solid scores. But how much can we trust those automatic evaluations? Are they really reflecting what we humans would consider accurate?
That's where the manual evaluation comes in. They had actual humans double-check a sample of CBC's results.
Yeah.
And get this, the humans agreed with the automatic evaluation 88.1% of the time.
Wow, that's pretty convincing. So it seems like those automatic methods are doing a good job of matching human judgment when it comes to word senses.
Absolutely.
And even when there were disagreements,
yeah.
Were they at least insightful?
They were. Mostly, the automatic evaluation had missed some correct senses, which the researchers think was because of gaps in WordNet. And they even found that some clusters that were initially flagged as bad by the automatic evaluation actually made sense when you looked closer.
Really? Like what?
For example, company names were often clustered together, which makes sense when you think about it.
So it seemed like a mistake at first, but it actually revealed a deeper connection that the computer was picking up on.
Yeah.
That's incredible. But wait, there's more, right?
You bet.
The Pantel and Lin paper goes beyond just evaluating CBC. They actually share some fascinating observation about word senses and the challenges of automatically discovering them.
It is a fascinating area.
Okay, this is getting really exciting. But before we get into all of that,
okay,
let's talk about some real-world applications of all of this. Besides helping me ace my exam, of course.
Of course. Word sense discovery, it's not just some academic thing, you know? There are some pretty cool real-world uses for it.
Like what?
Well, imagine search engines that actually understand what you mean when you type in a query.
So no more having to wade through tons of useless results.
Exactly. It would be a game changer.
Especially for doing research.
Totally. And think about machine translation.
Oh, yeah.
Getting rid of those awkward or sometimes hilarious mistranslations.
So no more I love my computer chair being translated to, like, I adore my electric throne.
Hopefully not.
But seriously, it all boils down to understanding the different meanings of words.
Right.
And it goes beyond that, too.
Word sense discovery can really improve other language tasks like text summarization, sentiment analysis,
and even question answering.
Exactly. If a computer can understand those nuances of word meaning, it can pull out more useful information, understand the tone and emotion, and give us the better answers.
It's like giving computers the language skills they need to actually interact with us.
That's the big picture. But let's get back to the Pantel and Lin paper for a minute.
Okay.
Remember how we talked about the limitations of dictionaries?
Yeah, they can't keep up with all the new words and meanings.
Right. Well, their research suggests that there might be even more word senses out there.
Oh.
That we haven't even thought of or categorized yet.
Wait, so computers might be picking up on meanings that even language experts haven't fully grasped.
It's pretty mind-blowing, isn't it?
It is. It kind of makes you wonder if we'll ever truly understand the full complexity of language.
Yeah, it really highlights how these computational approaches could not only replicate human understanding of language, but maybe even expand it. Like if CBC can spot connections between words that we haven't explicitly defined.
It makes you think about the limits of our own knowledge. Right.
Absolutely. And speaking of those bad clusters.
Yeah, what else did they find about those?
Well, they found that some of the clusters that didn't match up with the WordNet actually represented valid meanings that were just missing from the dictionary.
Interesting. And what about those company names that got grouped together?
That shows that CBC is finding those subtle shared features.
Even if we haven't defined them.
Exactly.
So sometimes what looks like an error is actually the computer making a connection we hadn't considered before.
I know. It's pretty cool, right?
It is. So how do we make sure that algorithms like CBC can keep up with the fact that language is constantly changing?
That's a great question.
New words are popping up all the time and old words are getting new meanings.
Right. So dictionaries, even massive ones like WordNet, are kind of like snapshots in time.
They can't keep.
To really capture how language is evolving, we need algorithms that can adapt on the fly.
So how do we make these algorithms more dynamic?
Well, think about all the text data that gets generated every single day.
Like what?
News articles, social media posts, even those late night texts we send.
Okay.
We can feed all of this data into algorithms and let them learn from it constantly.
So it's like they're getting a live feed of how language is actually being used.
Exactly. This lets them pick up new words, figure out emerging meanings, and refine their understanding of existing words.
It's like giving CBC a constant upgrade.
I like that analogy, but it's also a huge computational challenge.
Right. So are we up to the task?
We're getting there. And there's another exciting development that I think will be huge.
What's that?
Combining word sense discovery with machine learning.
So algorithms that not only group words based on meaning, but can also predict which meaning is most likely in a certain context.
Exactly. That would be a game changer for things like machine translation.
Oh, yeah. Because getting the right meaning there is so important.
Right. And this would be like giving computers a kind of linguistic intuition.
Helping them navigate the complexities of human language.
Precisely. As these technologies get more advanced, we might even see computers become true linguistic partners, understanding not just what we say, but how we say it.
The nuances, the implications, maybe even the humor.
Exactly.
Wow, that's a future I'm excited for.
Me too.
Computers that get our jokes, sign me up. But before we get too far ahead of ourselves,
okay,
let's go back to the Pantel and Lynn paper for a minute.
Sure.
One of the things they talked about were the challenges of word sense discovery.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's worth exploring those a little bit.
Definitely. One big challenge is that language is inherently ambiguous.
Oh, I know that feeling.
Even for us humans, figuring out the right meaning of a word can be tough sometimes.
Absolutely. And context is key, but even that isn't always enough.
Right. So how do we teach computers to deal with this ambiguity?
Yeah, how do we do that?
It's a tough one to solve, but there are a few promising approaches.
Like what?
One idea is to use more sophisticated language models that can take into account a wider range of contextual information.
So instead of just looking at the words immediately around a target word,
yeah,
these models would consider the whole sentence, the paragraphs, maybe even the entire document.
Exactly.
And they could also look at things like the author's style, the intended audience, and the overall purpose of the text.
Right. It's a lot of information to process.
But it sounds like it could really help computers understand those subtle shades of meaning.
It could. And there are other things researchers are exploring.
Like what?
Like probabilistic models that give different probabilities to different word senses depending on the context.
So like, given everything we know, there's an 80% chance that suit means clothing in this sense.
Exactly. And these models can be trained on huge amounts of data.
So they can learn those subtle patterns that even we might miss.
It's like giving them a superpower for understanding language.
This is also fascinating. But it makes me wonder.
What's that?
If computers are getting this good at understanding language, could they eventually become better at using language than we are?
That's a great question.
And one that I'm sure a lot of people are thinking about.
Yeah, it's definitely sparked a lot of debate.
On the one hand, computers have access to so much data.
Way more than we could ever process.
And so much processing power.
They can analyze language in ways that would take us lifetimes.
So in a way, they have the potential to be like super linguists.
Yeah.
Able to use language with this precision and artistry that we can only dream of.
It's definitely possible.
But on the other hand, language is more than just data and algorithms, right?
Right.
It's tied to our experiences, our emotions, our culture.
Exactly. There's a human element to it that might be hard for computers to replicate.
So it's not just about understanding grammar and definitions.
Yeah.
It's about capturing what makes language so powerful and meaningful.
Think about poetry, for example.
Okay.
A computer might be able to analyze the meter and rhyme scheme.
But could it really understand the deeper meaning that the poet is trying to convey?
That's the question.
Yeah, it seems like there's a certain human element to language that goes beyond algorithms.
It's definitely possible.
But even if computers never fully master language, the progress that's being made in fields like word sense discovery is amazing.
It is.
And who knows what we'll be able to achieve with language once computers are truly our partners in this exploration.
I can't wait to find out.
Okay, my mind is officially blown.
I know, right?
This has been such an incredible deep dive into word sense discovery. We've covered so much ground.
It's been a lot of fun.
But before we wrap up,
okay,
I think there's one more important aspect of word sense discovery that we need to discuss. The ethical considerations.
Oh, that's a really important point.
As with any powerful technology, we need to think about the ethical implications.
Like, how do we make sure it's used for good and not for harm?
Exactly. And how do we prevent biases from sneaking into these systems?
Those are great questions.
They're questions we need to be asking.
We need to be aware of potential biases in the data that's used to train these algorithms.
Okay.
And we need to make sure that these technologies are developed and used fairly and equitably.
So it's not just about the technical stuff.
Yeah.
It's about the social and ethical implications as well.
It's all connected.
As we keep pushing the boundaries of what computers can do with language, we have to have these conversations and make sure we're using this technology responsibly.
For the benefit of everyone.
I think that's a perfect place to end this discussion.
I agree.
This has been such a thought-provoking deep dive.
It has.
And I feel like I've learned so much.
Me too.
But before we say goodbye,
okay,
I want to leave our listener with one final thought.
What's that?
As computers become better at understanding language, it also forces us to think about what it means to be human.
What are those qualities that make us unique?
Even in a world where machines can talk.
That's a deep question.
It is, and it's one that I think we'll be grappling with for a long time.
But one thing's for sure.
What's that?
The journey of exploring language,
both human and artificial,
is just beginning.
And on that note, we'll say goodbye. Good luck on that exam, listener.
Good luck.
And remember, keep diving deep. So we've been talking about how computers can figure out all the different meanings of words, but how do they keep up with all the new words and meanings that pop up? Language is constantly changing, right?
Right. Dictionaries are like a snapshot in time. To keep up with language, algorithms need to adapt on the fly.
So we need to give them lots of real-world language data to learn from. right? Like news articles and social media posts.
Exactly. And even those late night text messages, all of that can help them learn and refine their understanding.
It's like a constant software upgrade for these algorithms.
That's a great way to put it.
But that sounds like a massive amount of data to process. Are we up to the task?
We're getting there. Combining word sense discovery with machine learning is also helping.
You mean algorithms that can predict which meaning of a word is most likely, depending on the context.
Exactly. That would be super helpful for things like meaning translation.
So no more hilarious mistranslations.
Hopefully not. It's like giving computers a sense of intuition about language.
As this technology gets even more advanced, could we see computers becoming true language partners? Understanding all the nuances and subtleties of human communication.
It's definitely possible. They might even be able to understand humor.
Now that's a future I'd love to see. But the Pantel and Lin paper also talked about some challenges with word sense discovery.
Yeah, like the fact that language can be really ambiguous.
Oh, I know that all too well. Sometimes even context isn't enough to clear things up.
Right, so how do we teach computers to deal with that?
Exactly, how?
Well, more sophisticated language models could help.
You mean models that look at a wider range of context, like the entire sentence or even the whole document?
Right, and they could consider the author's style and the purpose of the text.
That's a lot to consider, but it sounds like it could help computers grasp those subtle meanings that make language so complex.
Definitely. And there are other approaches too, like probabilistic models that assign probability to different meanings based on the context.
So like, given all the information we have, there's an 80% chance soup means clothing here.
That's the idea. And these models can be trained on tons of data to learn those patterns we might miss.
This is all so mind-blowing. But if computers keep getting better at understanding language, could they eventually become better at using it than we are?
It's a question that a lot of people are asking, and it's sparked a lot of debate.
On the one hand, they have access to so much data and processing power.
Way more than us.
So they could potentially become superlinguists, using language in ways we can't even imagine?
It's definitely possible. But on the other hand, language is more than just data.
Right. It's tied to our emotions and experiences and culture.
Exactly. There's a human element that might be hard to replicate.
Like, think about poetry.
Yeah, a computer might be able to analyze the structure, but could it really understand the deeper meaning?
It makes you think about what really makes us human.
It really does, but even if computers never fully master human language, the progress we're seeing is incredible.
And who knows what we'll achieve once we have computers as partners in understanding language?
I'm excited to find out.
This has been an incredible deep dive. We've covered so much.
It has been fun.
But before we go, we need to talk about the ethical side of this.
Oh, well, that's crucial.
We need to make sure this technology is used for good.
And that it's fair and not have harmful biases.
We need to have these conversations as we develop this technology.
For sure, to make sure it benefits everyone.
This has been a truly thought-provoking conversation. I've learned so much.
Me too.
But before we sign off, I want to leave our listeners with one last thought.
What's up?
As computers get better at understanding language, it makes us think about what it means to be human.
What makes us unique?
Even in a world where machines can communicate like us.
It's a profound question that we'll be exploring for a long time.
But the exploration of language, both human and artificial, is just getting started.
That's for sure.
And on that note, we'll say goodbye. Good luck on that exam, listener, and keep diving deep.